Will you pray with me? So I have a confession to make to all of you this morning. Figure this is the right and good and joyful place to do that kind of thing. I am a fan of the Washington Capitals. Put that out there. Woohoo, right? The Caps, as they are called for short, are currently in the, and I can say currently, by the way, currently in the second round of the NHL playoffs. They are playing their arch nemesis in the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if you are not caught up on hockey, allow me to catch you up that much. If there are any Penguins fans here this morning, God still loves you. That's okay. I'm going to continue on anyways. As a Caps fan, watching these games has been something I have made a priority. I can tell you that making this a priority, making watching these games a priority at times is mind-numbingly frustrating when I watch the way that they are playing, and I also hear about the commentary of the way this rivalry has shaped up in the past, 28 years. You see, the Penguins have won 8 of the last 9 playoff series against the Capitals, so it's not really considered a rivalry in most senses, and they are currently leading, they have not yet won, the current series, 3-2. And the struggles the Capitals have had, the ways they have not, performed well, the dysfunction they've had, has led them to be questioned by so many folks as to not only if their season will continue, but if people will even remain on the team after this season. If players would be traded away, if coaches might be fired, if there might be some kind of change in leadership. And for a brief 20 minutes last night, we'll say like 16 about the time they finally got their stuff together, there was a change in the way they played to where they seemed to have made their team a priority, made playing with one another something that was important to them, which is really exciting as a fan to watch, but also a reminder of where we are at in the series. That we really don't know if that team is going to show up again, and we really don't know how this is going to end. I share this with you all, not just for cathartic reasons, though it may seem like it, but that kind of tenuous, we're not quite sure how this is going to work out feeling is an atmosphere that is similar to what the early church was going through, right in the first century after Jesus died and was raised. That same feeling you get in your stomach when you look at something that is important to you, something you have made a priority, and you have to wrestle with whether it is working the way it is supposed to or not. See, this morning, as Bob read from the book of Acts, which is, by the way, the most aptly named book in the Bible. It is about the acts that the apostles did. So, pretty straightforward. And it is a story of how the church came to be, of the things they decided to make a priority, and the ways that they persevered. The book of Acts is also a sequel of sorts, written by the same author that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so in our passage this morning, we hear of two different groups that make up this church. On one hand, you have the Hebrew people. They are the ones that have been doing this game for a little while now, the ones that have been part of the Jewish faith for long before Jesus got there and have continued to be a part of that faith, living into the way Jesus did his ministry. You also have these folks called the Hellenists. They are the ones, they are named that. It comes from the word Hellas, which comes from the word Greece, is what we understand it to be. These are folks that are really influenced by the Greek culture that was present throughout much of history, but especially in the first century. These are folks that just learned what the faith was like and based a lot of their faith off of the work and the story of Jesus Christ. So by having these two different groups come together, you have two different cultural understandings facing a lot of external pressures that are telling them to do things differently than they should and threatens the very team from staying together in the first place. So that dysfunction is then layered when these folks who are new to the faith are trying to figure out how exactly they are called to serve the neighbors that surround them. As is named in the scripture, the Hellenistic widows are the ones being ignored in the daily distribution of food. A little bit of context. At that time, if you were a woman, you were probably being ignored anyways. And so then if you were a widow, you were being ignored as well. Same as if you were an immigrant. And if you're a widow of an immigrant, it's just bad news. So the fact that the church is actually willing to meet their community where they are at is a really good thing. And the fact they're not quite getting it is really important. And they really want to make meeting those needs a priority is important. So the 12 apostles, themselves a relatively diverse group, call everyone in the community together. They call the entire community of believers, of disciples, to discuss what is going on. And they say, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God, that we might wait on tables. Just for the record, this is not a knock on waiting on tables, and it's not a knock on what they are being asked to do. They recognize that this is something really important, and people need to be doing this. See, sometimes it's easy to assume that because these guys seem to know everything they were doing, they should just add that to their to-do list. That's not what's happening here. This, from the very beginning, the church is built of a community that is willing to share the needs with the people who have the gifts to meet them. And it's not just the people that have the gifts to meet them, it's the people that want to make those things a priority. The people that have a passion for meeting those folks where they are. And so as the apostles do this cool thing where they invite the community to be a part of this, they invite the community to also name the people that they know would be good at doing this. The people that they know would care about these Hellenistic widows. The folks that would know who they are, that would know their story, that would know what they've been through, and would want to care for them in those places. And so as those seven men are named, and again, the fact they are all men is also relative to the time period in which we are talking about, their names hint that they are unfamiliar names for this particular community as they name them all specifically. And the names even include someone who is known as a proselyte, which is like a tier 3 church nerd word for someone new to church. So you have that understanding. These folks are not just folks that have always been doing this faith thing. They are from the very community that they are trying to serve. They are not people that have had to have gone to school or have had to obtain some degree or been working for a specific amount of time. They said they cared about this cause, and so they are being chosen to help with this cause. It is just the fact they have named that passion and that priority. Friends, if only our church as a big whole could follow that blueprint today. But we just know people who are passionate about something, and they are given the opportunity to go do that thing they are passionate about. You see, friends, it is in the things that we are passionate about that helps reveal the way God loves us. What I mean by that is when we know we care about something, the feeling that we have, that desire to continue to be a part of whatever that is a small taste of the passion that God has for us. It's an understanding of the way that if this is how I feel about this, how much more does God feel about me and all of the people around me that are God's people? And this church, in this very moment, is overcoming a heck of a lot of adversity to be willing to sit down and say, we want to meet these needs that God has revealed to us where they are. Now, if that's not exciting to you, then as we read on, we hear how exciting it was to the people at that time, because the writer of Acts highlights just how this church functions and grows because of this. The number of disciples increased greatly, and a great many priests who, you know, at one point were like, yeah, whatever the church is doing, you do your thing, we'll do ours. They became obedient to this faith. They saw that God was living and moving and breathing through the work that they were doing. That when they made a priority of what it was that God needed, what God wanted, that put them in a place that they had never been before. See, if we go back to my story from a minute ago, lest I ever be confused, the Washington Capitals do not need me. As excited as I might get, as passionate as I am, they don't need me to do what they are doing. While there's absolutely nothing wrong with making their games a priority and being a fan, if I'm willing to take the time to make that a priority, how much more so should I be willing to make living into God's call a priority? How much more so should I be willing to make the way God is calling me in my life a priority? How much should we be willing to make that a priority? Friends, I want you to do me a favor this morning. You can either close your eyes, you can look at the floor, but ponder for a second. I want you to think about the things that you have made a priority in the last 2 weeks. Just picture what those things are. The things that you care about, things that you've been intentional on making time for. As you think about that, I want you to think to yourself where God fits in to that. How much of that intentional time is time that you have given to God? If you're like me, probably not enough. It's probably something that we can continue to work on and grow in and continue to see God can do incredible things when we're willing to hear the call. When we're willing to put aside for even just a moment the things that we feel we need to do because we care about things, for things that God needs us to do with how we care about things. Taking the passions that we have and directing them in a way that can change the lives of those around us. That when we look at the world that we live in and we see the hardships that we are facing, we understand that we are not supposed to just give in to those hardships. When we hear about people in need, we are supposed to do our best to meet them where they are at. Just a moment ago, Linda had us all stand up, and we all were standing up as we were able to. We all know that we try and succeed in living into this calling God has for us, even if for a brief moment this morning. How much more powerful could our witness as a church be if we were willing to do that all the time? If we were willing to take the same kind of potential that the Washington Capitals have claimed to have had for a decade and actually live into it, the potential to succeed and to change and transform the world. That is a potential that, whether this season ends or not, doesn't go away for us as the church. The potential that we have to impact the lives of those around us for until Jesus comes back. Potential that every day we are invited to, just as the way the apostles invited those in their community to make a difference. Friends, as you think about the things that you have made a priority, where are there openings for God to use that for something you may not have done yet? If being out in the community and having a chance to go talk to people is important to you, how many times have you had an opportunity to talk about why you come to church or why your faith is important to you? If being at home is a priority to you and being with family, how often does that conversation come up? And what do you think about and what do you do with that time? Because as hard as it is sometimes, this is not a checklist that we have to go through. That's not what church is about. It's about transforming the way that we live, the way that we accept God's invitation to make a difference, to meet needs, to go where we are needed. Friends, whatever happens in the next few days in terms of hockey, that's one thing. But as that is happening, I invite you to remember that what that is a sign of. That just in a little example like that, how that reminds us of what God is calling us to live into, to reach, to do, to be excited about every day of our lives.